Dear Lord God, we come to you this Sunday morning, Father, and Lord, we love you. We love what you do for us and what you have done for us, Lord. A lot of people say if you never did anything else except what you've done so far, you've done enough. And that is the truth, Lord. We just thank you for everything. We can't thank you enough. Lord, as we get ready to read from your word, I just ask that you would just send your Holy Spirit here and touch each and every one of us, Lord. Let us glean something from what we read and what we talk about to where it will help us in our life. Everything is about getting to know you better and getting closer to you. And that's what we're trying to do right here this morning, Lord. So we just thank you now and just ask that you'd minister through me. In Jesus' name, amen. What I'll talk about this morning isn't always popular. Sometimes you don't get to talk about what's popular. Sometimes you just got to talk about what the Holy Spirit gives you. But I want to kind of, it's in 1 John 1:1 is where I want to start. And I want to set the stage for what we're talking about. It starts out, says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. What this is Peter is talking, and the things that we read about in the Bible, you know, a lot of they were there for a lot of this. And they were there. And when it talks about that which was from the beginning, what they're actually talking about is Jesus. They were there. They touched him. They were there with him. But it goes on. He says, the life appeared. We have seen it. We testify to it, and we proclaim it. And we proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Just like what I just said. And they were with Jesus, and Jesus appeared. They were here. He was here. And they're testifying to that. So let's go on. And I just said it was Peter that said that. I was wrong. It was John. I get my names mixed up. But it goes on. It says, Jesus is the word of life. And that is what they are proclaiming. Let's read John 1:1. There's another verse that backs it up. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God from the beginning. In other words, Jesus has always been. He's not a created being like the angels. He's not created like we were. He was just there. He is part of the Godhead. And that just kind of sets the stage for where we're going. So I'm going to read verse 3. It says, we proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So what they're saying is, you know, we're here. We're trying to tell you the good news. And that's exactly what I'm here doing. I'm here. I want to tell you the good news. I want to tell you the good news about Jesus. And that's what they were doing. But let's go read on. It says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. In other words, it says, God is good. And there is no darkness, period. He doesn't do wrong. He doesn't sin. He doesn't do anything. He is good, period. There's no, we can't look for any other words. I mean, that's just the way, I mean, that's who he is. But here's what I want to, what the part that a lot of people don't want to hear is, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Well, that's a slammer. But in this day and age, you know, here's what scares me. When I get to watching TV and, you know, there's a million, well, not a million, but a few Christian channels or so-called Christian channels on TV nowadays. There's radio programs and there's all kinds of stuff. And you get to listening to some of the stuff and you really start wondering some of these people that are saying they're Christians, whether they truly are or whether they're not. Now, there is one really great thing about this. It's not my place to judge them. I mean, I can look at them, and I can form an opinion, and I mean, I know how I feel about things, but I'm not the one that's going to judge them and pass sentence on them. It's not my thing. Very glad it's not. I wouldn't want that kind of responsibility. But what it does do, it makes me look at myself. Because I walk around here and I tell you guys I'm a Christian. Well, do I truly walk in the light? Do I really do what I tell you guys that I'm doing? Kind of makes you wonder. Now, it's really easy to put on the front. You know, my wife says people put on their church face. You know, you go to church on Sunday and everybody's got the smile and the clothes. And well, that's not really it. Because on Monday, you find them in the bar, bellied up to the bar, you know, doing who knows what. And I'm not a total anti-drinker. Don't get me wrong there. I'm not against social drinking. But there is a lifestyle that goes with being a Christian. And do we do that? Do I do that? It's a good question. So, what do we have to do? I mean, what are we supposed to do? Let me read verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Aha! So if we walk the way Jesus wants us to walk, in other words, we receive him as our Lord and Savior, would be the basis of it. That's where it starts. And then just like being a kid, you know, you live like what your parents try to teach you how to live. And you're supposed to live that way. Jesus teaches us how to live, and we should live that way. That would allow us to walk in the light. And his blood purifies us from all sin. Well, why do we need this? I mean, if I'm saved and his blood purifies us, what else do I need to do? I mean, I'm really a good person. You know, I don't do anything wrong. I don't, you know, I'm just good the way I am. A lot of us feel that way. So let's see what it says. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Well, there's a bomb, if you ever heard one. So what is that really telling us? All of us do wrong, no matter what. We may do it on purpose sometimes, even so we know we shouldn't. But a lot of times we just do stuff that's in our nature. Human nature, it just makes us do things sometimes that we don't want to. You know, even Paul, who's the greatest apostle that ever lived, you know, he even said, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. So I guess all hope's lost, right? I mean, if we're sinning anyway, why don't we just sin and get it over with, right? We can't live a straight life anyway, from what I'm saying. But let's see what this other verse here says. It goes on and says, my dear children, I write this to you that you will not sin. Wait a minute. It says I can't not sin, but now it's saying I should not sin. Well, it's not a contradiction. Basically, what it's telling you, God's the only being, because he's not really a person, but only being that will accept E for effort. He wants us to make an effort. And if we do our best to live for him, I guarantee you, you will never go wrong. And yeah, you're going to mess up. But like I said earlier, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So if I go through today and I don't quite make it the way I thought I ought to make it, which there's probably a better and fair chance I'll mess up somewhere along the line. And so I end up committing sins that even so I didn't really want to. I know that if I confess my sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive me. And he's going to purify me, and I can start all over tomorrow morning. You know, his mercies are new every day. That's the awesome part with Jesus. There's a lot of religions out there. And it's not my job to convince you which one you want to follow. Your heart will tell you which one you ought to follow. But Christianity is the only religion, which I hate the word religion. But it's the only religion that... it's a free gift. Your salvation is a free gift. It ain't something you work for. You can work as hard as you want. You can try to live as good as you want to live. You don't make it. The end of it is still that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. We need somebody to pay the price for our sin, and Jesus did that. So let me read on here. What does it say then? It says, but if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And basically what I just said, he's the one that took care of it. Man, not too long ago, we celebrated Easter. You know, Jesus was crucified, but the awesome part, 3 days later, he rose. And the same way that he rose, someday we'll all be, if we live to that, we actually pass away and get buried, we're going to raise with Jesus and be with him. Some of us might get lucky. He might come back and we never die. But, you know, who knows? He may be back tomorrow. He may be back in 1,000 years. The one thing that we know for sure, Jesus will be back. And I am so glad that he's up there with the Father in my defense. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Remember, everybody's. He done took care of it. So what's the point? Well, Scripture always says it better than I do. So I'm going to read another piece of Scripture here. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what his does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Man, that is some strong words. And I'm not here to beat anybody up. I'm just saying, I know in my life, I stray from the past all the time. Honda Bob, he'll admit that he strays. He's a friend of mine. I've seen him mess up, so I can. And hopefully, I'll point him in the right direction. He'll point me in the right direction, and we all mess up. But the first thing is that we got to admit it, and we got to know it. See, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Jesus wants us to live for him. So let's read the rest of the scripture. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Another really tall order. How in the heck do we walk as Jesus did? Jesus walked perfect. Well, that's where the E for effort comes. God wants us to make an effort to live like Jesus did. Our goal is to be as much like Jesus as possible. That's the intent, that when we die, we're as close to Jesus as we can possibly get. We're just like him. Well, since we can't reach that, he came and he died for us and paid the price. So when we do mess up, it's covered. So you can have full confidence. You don't have to worry. You know, it's really sad. I know people that have been saved for years and years and years. And when I talk to them, they're like, you know, someday I want to die, and if I make it to heaven, and it's like, wait a minute. If you make it to heaven, what are you talking about? They're sitting there wondering if they're going to make it to heaven. If you do what the Bible says, you receive Jesus as your Savior. You do your best, you try to live for him, you're going. There is no if I make it to heaven. But the one thing you got to do, and that's what we started with, you got to look at yourself to make sure you're not one of the people that says you're a Christian, that you truly are. And the only person that knows that is you. There ain't nobody here that can tell you you're living right, wrong, or indifferent. You know, the conscience that you hear, that's more likely the Holy Spirit telling you can do this or you can't do this. And some things that are okay for you may not be okay for me. You know, we're all in a different place. I look at it like you're going up this big ladder. Some of us are on rung 2. Some of us are on rung 10. Some on 15. And then a few of us are on 15, start back at 10 and go, you know, it's just like that. So we're all in a different place. But examine yourself. Make sure that when you say I'm a Christian, that you really are. And for those of you that aren't, if you've never made a decision for Jesus, accepted him as your Lord and Savior to cover those sins that you commit, the ones that you want to do and don't want to do, Come see me. Talk to me if you're interested in this. I can't convert you. It's not something I can do, but the Holy Spirit sure can. But I'll be here all day, and I'll be glad to talk to anybody that wants to hear more about it. Because it's a decision. I made that decision, I don't know, 15, 18 years ago, quite a while ago. I'm showing my age now. And, you know, I lived and I partied, and I partied with the best of them for years. I mean, we thought it was fun, and a lot of it was fun. Because sin, there's a lot of fun in sin. And my life not necessarily became easier. Because all of a sudden, you're not just living for yourself. All of a sudden, you're trying to live up to a higher standard. And that produces conflict sometimes. Because you want to do this, but you're supposed to do this. And you want to do that, and you ought to do this. So it can be a struggle. But it's the best thing that I ever did. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, you know, Christianity is not for sissies. And it really ain't. I mean, we love, especially men. I mean, men love the challenge of the racetrack. A lot of women, ladies, like the challenge of the racetrack. Well, Christianity can be a challenge at times. But it's a decision that you'll make, and you'll never regret. That I can guarantee. With that, I'd like to close. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much. We thank you for the fact that Jesus paid the price for us. That we can receive as a free gift. Salvation. Because of that free gift, all our sins are paid for, are covered. Jesus is up there sitting at the right hand of you, intervening for us. That is great. Because we know, you know, we're supposed to live the way Jesus did, but all of us fall short. But we're so thankful that E for effort counts. And the places we mess up are covered by the blood of Jesus. We just thank you so much, Lord. Lord, I want to pray for every person here that you pour out your Spirit on them and just touch their heart today. Let them walk away from this message feeling better about themselves. Let them walk away from this message looking at themselves and just reexamining, looking in the mirror and going, am I who I say I am? And I really hope that they all are, that they all are where they're supposed to be. We just thank you for that, Lord. Father God, anybody that you want to come, have come to know you today, I ask that you'd give them the courage to come and talk to me later where we can make this a final deal. One prayer can change their life. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Lord, as we get ready to go racing, we just want to thank you for an awesome track. Thank you for the people that put this all together. They worked really hard to keep the mud out of the track for today. Lord, it's beautiful. The sun's shining. It couldn't be any better, Lord. We just ask that you protect us all on and off the track, Lord. And as always, let's do this for your glory and not ours. In Jesus' name, amen.